إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters and elders, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, today we are on the last of the series of the khutbas concerning the questions of the grave. And the fourth and the last question of the grave is وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ. How do you know? And that refers to the first three questions. And they will be asked, how did you know all this? And the answer to that, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who will be able to give this answer, is that the person will say, فَيَقُولْ قَرَأْتُ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ فَآمَنْتُ بِهِ وَصَدَّقْتُ. That I read Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book, I believed in it, and I considered it to be true. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who read his book, who understand his book, who live by his book, who believe in his book, who consider it to be true. And the biggest proof of considering it to be true is to practice what is written in that book. There is no considering the Quran to be true and then not practicing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu has instructed and ordered us to do. So what is in this book of Allah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kitab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned many things in it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced himself as the writer of this book, as the teacher of this book. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described for us the benefits that he has given us. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked a question, and the question is, how many of these things will you deny? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ar-Rahmanu 'allama al-Qur'an. خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ عَلَّمَهُ الْبَيَانَ الشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ بِحُسْبَانٍ وَالنَّجْمُ وَالشَّجَرُ يَسْجُدَانِ وَالسَّمَاءُ رَفَعَهَا وَوَضَعَ الْمِيزَانَ أَلَّا تَطْغَوْا فِي الْمِيزَانِ وَأَقِيمُوا الْوَزْنَ بِالْقِسْطِ وَلَا تُخْسِرُوا الْمِيزَانَ والأرض وضعها للأنام فيها فاكهة والنخل ذات الأكمام والحب ذو العصف والريحان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان لا بشيء من نعمة ربنا نكذب لا بشيء من نعمة ربنا نكذب لا بشيء من نعمة ربنا نكذب. Oh Allah, we do not deny any of your ni'mat. We make shukr of your ni'mat, inshaAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced himself once again in terms of his ni'mat. But before he introduced himself in terms of his ni'mat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala drew our attention to the day when we will meet him, Jalla Jalalu. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to the confusion and the needless arguments about that day. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Amma yatasalun anin nabail azim alladhi hum fihi mukhtalifun kalla sayalamun thumma kalla sayalamun. And then Allah reminded us, Alam naj'alil arda mihada والجبال أوتادا وخلقناكم أزواجا وجعلنا نومكم ثباتا وجعلنا الليل لباسا وجعلنا النهار معاشا وبنينا فوقكم سبعا شدادا وجعلنا سراجا وهاجا وأنزلنا من المعصرات ماء ثجاجا لنخرج به حبا ونباتا وجنات ألفافا. And then Allah reminded us of that day when it will happen. Inna yawmal fasli kana miqata yawma yunfaqu fis-suri fatatuna afwaja wa futihatis samaa'u fakanat abwaaba wa suyyiratil jibaalu fakanat saraaba inna jahannama kanat mirsaada lit-taaghina maaba laabithina fiha لا يذوقون فيها بردا ولا شرابا إلا حميما وغساقا جزاء وفاقا فهم إنهم كانوا لا يرجون حسابا وكذبوا بآياتنا كذابا وكل شيء أحصيناه كتابا فذوقوا فلن نزيدكم إلا عذابا. And for those who don't do that, may Allah include us among them. Inna lil muttaqina mafaza hadaiqa wa anaba wa kawaiba turaba wa ka'san dihaqa la yasma'una fiha lagwan wa la kithaba jazam min rabbika ata'an hisaba. From whom? Who is this Rabb? Rabbi samawati wal ardi wa ma baynahuma ar-Rahman la yamlikuna minhu khitaba. On which day? Yawma yaqumu ar-ruhu wal malaikatu saffa la yatakallamun لا يتكلمون إلا من نزل له الرحمن وقال صواب. And no doubt about this day. ذلك اليوم الحق فمن شاء اتخذ إلى ربي مآبا. And then the ayah which we ask Allah to save us from this, the ayah of such despair. Inna anzarnakum azaban qareeba yawma yanzurul maru ma qaddamat yada وَيَقُولُ الْكَافِرُ يَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ تُرَابًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced himself in this kalam, which we read, which we hear, which we believe in, and we ask Allah to make us among those who follow it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced himself in terms of his glory and his majesty. And before he introduced himself, he talked about and he mentioned what happens to those who understand that glory and majesty. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who understand that glory and majesty. Where he said, Jalla Jalaluhu, wa Jalla Sana'uhu, wa Amma Nawaluhu, خالق كل أشياء وأحوال فاطر السماوات والأرض بديع السماوات والأرض هو يقول وقوله الحق ولقاؤه حق ونبيه حق. وقال لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشيا متصديا من خشية الله وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس لعلهم يتفكرون. He mentioned what will happen to those who understand this kalam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take the rocks and the mountains and the hills which are in our chests, called our hearts, which are harder than stones. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to melt them by the glory and majesty of his kalam. And then he introduced himself by means of his glorious Asma wa Sifat. Huwa Allahu alladhi la ilaha illa hu, alimul ghaybi wash-shahada, huwa ar-rahmanur rahim. Huwa Allahu alladhi la ilaha illa hu, الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر سبحان الله عما يشركون. هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم. My brothers and sisters, so what is the meaning of reading this kalam and understanding this kalam and believing this kalam? You might like to read the collection of the khutbas called Reflect on the Quran, which is in the form of a book, which is available free. Download it from our site. It's on Amazon. Also, there is that whole series of khutbas is there. You might like to listen to that on the importance of reflecting on the Quran. Tadabbur al-Quran. But first and most obvious, to read and understand the Quran. To read it with understanding, because how can someone who does not understand claim to believe? You believe in what? Do you believe in the sound of the Quran without knowing what it means? How can you claim to believe in something that you do not understand? Think about that. We follow the Quran in every word that it contains. And we accept all its injunctions without hesitation, without change, without alteration or reservation. We accept all the divine laws it contains without reservation and believe that this divine law is the only law that has a right to be implemented on the face of the earth. We believe that whoever tries to alter anything of the Quran, be it a single letter of it, anyone who denies anything of the Quran, be it a single letter of it, anyone who rejects anything of the Quran, be it a single letter of it, Anyone who makes fun of or doesn't believe in any of the promises, descriptions and narrations of the matters of the unperceivable al-ghayb and the hereafter. Anyone who does that, we believe that that person has left Islam. We believe that it is essential for the Muslim to believe in, to understand and to implement the Quran and the Sunnah in his or her life, because this is the best possible way to live. We believe in all the other divine books that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, the Torah, the Zabur and the Injil, that they were divine revelation in their original form. We do not accept the changes that have been made to them, and we do not accept them in their present form, and we do not accept them as a source of Islamic law. We believe that the people who made the changes had no right to do so, and that they exceeded their authority. To make changes in the divine revelation is comparable to making changes in the writing of an author without his permission. We call that copyright violation. It's a cognizable offense. How then can we accept changes in the divine revelation when the author did not authorize any such change? And that is why no Muslim will ever agree to any change in the Quran, because he and she understands his own position with respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalalu. We believe that it is essential to understand and implement the Sunnah, the teaching way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in our lives, because the Sunnah explains the Quran. As mentioned above, we believe that the Sunnah is another form of revelation called wahi ghair matlu, the revelation which is not recited in Salah. We believe that this revelation was sent to explain the Quran. And so it is an essential part of Islamic theology and the second most important source of Islamic law. We believe that anyone who denies the Sunnah partially or in totality and claims that the Quran alone is sufficient for him proclaims his gross ignorance before leaving Islam. Even a cursory study of the Quran will make it clear to the sincere person that the explanation of the law is essential to understand and implement the law. So is the case with the Quran and the Sunnah. The Sunnah complements the Quran and is essential for one to be able to understand the method of carrying out Quranic injunctions and laws. Without the Sunnah, it is impossible to implement the Quran, and therefore those who reject the Sunnah are also rejecting the Quran. Just to give you one example, the Quran orders all people to believe in Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but is silent about how one can formally declare this belief and enter Islam. The Quran orders the believer to establish Salah, but is silent on how this is to be done. It orders the believer to pay Zakat, but is silent on what Zakat is valid and payable on and how much. It orders the believer to fast in Ramadan, but is silent on what breaks the fast. It orders the believer to make Hajj to the house of Allah, but is silent about the rituals of Hajj and how this is to be done. All of these and numerous such matters were explained by Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not by his own will and pleasure, but by means of the revelation that he received about these details, which we know as the Sunnah and Hadith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did this to establish the position and the honor and the rank of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as being intrinsic and essential to the deen. The Quran is the word of Allah. The Sunnah is its meaning, explanation and demonstration in order to enable people to follow the orders of Allah. Allah promised to protect His word, which needless to say includes the word, its meaning, explanation and demonstration. Those who seek to separate the word from its meaning demonstrate their own ignorance or worse. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, one of the personal and favorite students of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who dedicated his entire life only to learning the deen from him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, "The dryness of the eyes is a sign of the hardness of the heart." In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Allah has made the fire of Jahannam haram on two kinds of eyes, the eye that stays awake for the protection of the Muslim and the eye that weeps for the glory and magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." So let us ask ourselves if we fit this description, or let us see whether our eyes weep listening to poetry, they weep watching movies, they weep listening to dirges, But not when we listen to the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. Yet we find nothing strange in that. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called the ignorant people cattle. And He said they are worse than cattle. Do we reflect on the fact that when we are listening to the actual, that what we are listening to is the actual speech of Allah as revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Do we reflect on the fact that what we are listening to are the exact words that were revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and which the world heard for the very first time in his voice? Do we reflect on the fact that this message contains information that is critical to our success in this world and the next? Are we eager to know what this information is? Are we aware that as we recite, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is listening to us on His arsh and is mentioning us by name to those who are with Him around the arsh? Are we overwhelmed with awe and gratitude? Do we fall in sujood in thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are we aware that what we are reciting in salah is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited, and the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, who were the witnesses to that revelation, listened to it in the voice of the best Qari that ever lived, because he was the one to whom it was revealed. Does this thought occur to us? What happens to us if we think about this? Do we get excited? Does it produce any change in us? Or are we those who a curse can transform? If somebody swears at us, the color of our face changes. Our heartbeat changes. We get infuriated. We are ready to kill the person. Why? Because he told a lie. He cursed you. You know you are not that. Yet, a lie, a curse is a lie. And that lie transforms us. It brings about measurable physiological changes in us, in our heartbeat, in our temperament, in our blood pressure, in the electrical impulses in our brain. It encourages us, it sometimes compels us to speak and act and do things which later we might regret. One curse can do that. One gali can do that. My question is, what does the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do? Are we those who a curse can transform, but the word of Allah leaves us unmoved? Do we reflect on the fact that this word is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Asdaqul hadithi kitab Allah. The most truthful word that can ever exist is the kitab of Allah. And that it is protected in its exactness, in its meaning, and in its application by the one who spoke that word. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. Do we reflect on the fact that this Quran changed the people who were despised in the world and made them into role models who the world looked up to? Do we reflect on the fact that this Quran transformed people and changed their destination from Jahannam to Jannah? And then do we ask, but what is it doing for me? Do we reflect on the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned us in the Quran? Allah mentioned us in the Quran, and He also mentioned what will happen to each of us depending on the qualities by which He described us. And then, as is the demand of intelligence, do we go and search for ourselves in the Quran so that we might know how we have been described by Allah, and so that we might know where our destination is, so that we might make changes to ensure that our destination is Jannatul Firdaus?
Do we reflect on the fact that the Quran is shifa, a cure for illness, the most serious of which is the illness of the heart called nifaq, hypocrisy? And then do we seek that cure before it is too late? Do we reflect on the fact that the Quran teaches us how to ask Allah? And then do we ask Allah in that way, as He told us how to ask? And we see the result of our dua being accepted. Do we reflect on the fact that the Quran gives solace to the bereaved, comfort to the aggrieved, safety from danger, takes away our fears and anxieties? And then do we seek these things from the Quran before we run to someone else for his help? Do we learn to read the Quran properly according to its rules? And do we teach our children ourselves? Or do we hire a poor imam for a pittance and leave it to him to teach our children, while ourselves not even having the knowledge to judge if he is doing that job properly or not? Do we take pride in the course of study our child is doing in a worldly school, but feel no shame whatsoever that our child cannot read the Quran properly, that our child cannot lead 2 rakat of salah properly, and that our child will not be able to lead our own salatul janaza when we die? No shame whatsoever about this. Do our children listen to us reciting Quran at home? Or is that not part of their memory? How many homes are there which are palaces outwardly, but in reality they are ruins? They are desolate, silent places where the walls and tapestries and chandeliers and carpets are witness to qawwali and ghazal parties, but they yearn to hear the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recited in tahajjud, and they yearn in vain. My brothers and sisters, save yourself, because truly on the day of judgment, every brick of every wall will complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about what you forced it to witness. How many of our homes are bereft of the sound of the kalam of Allah? Our voices reciting His kalam are not part of the memories of our children. They will remember us for many reasons, some good, some bad, but never because they used to hear us reciting the kalam of Allah in the dead of the night, when the world was asleep. How many of us have children who come to us and say, "Ma, my mother, Baba, my father, make dua for me because I am in difficulty. I know your connection with Allah. Please ask Him to help me." How many of us have children who come and ask us this question? "Wallahi, I had a father like that. May Allah fill his qabr with noor." How many of us have children who come to you and ask you to make dua? And how many of us can then lift our hands and look up to the heavens and with confidence, how many of us can say, "Oh my Allah, give me because I am asking. Give because you can give. And give because I am asking." My brothers and sisters, those who don't have riches and endure hardship have a reason for it. But what would you say about those who have riches, yet they make no use of them? And not only do they endure hardship, but they also condemn others to endure hardship because they don't share their riches. We are in this unenviable position. We have wealth which is lying unused. Now, brothers and sisters, a day will come when we will be questioned about this wealth, the wealth of the knowledge of this deen, the primary source of which is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalalu. Ours is to understand, to practice and propagate the message of Islam. Propagate first and foremost by our own practical example. That is how Islam spread, by the winning of hearts, not by the winning of arguments. And that is how it will spread today. Let us ask, what are we doing about this before we are asked what we did about it? My brothers and sisters, in conclusion, I want to remind myself and you about the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam about what happens after we answer the questions. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if the believing slave is leaving this world and moving into al-akhirah, a person in that state is called al-muhtadar, who is in the state of ihtadar, who is in the state of the one who was waiting for somebody, and that person that he was waiting for has come. Believe it or not, every single one of us is waiting for one who will come without a doubt. And what is the name of the one who will come without a doubt? Al-Malakul Maut. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if the believing slave is leaving the world and is moving into al-akhirah, angels descend upon him from heaven. We ask Allah to make us among those who this hadith describes. Their face is bright and shining like the sun. They will have with them a shroud, a coffin from Jannah, and perfume from Jannah. He will be able to see them. Then Malakul Maut will descend and he will sit by the head of the person and he will say, oh, you pure soul, come out to the forgiveness of Allah and to his pleasure. Ya ayyatuhal nafsul mutmainna irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyya. The soul will emerge as easily as a drop of water falling from a jug. We ask Allah to make us among those and to make all our families among those who are described in this hadith. Those who want to deny the hadith, remember this hadith also you are denying. Remember that. You want to deny a hadith which don't suit you, but remember this also will not be yours, because you denied it. For the evil soul, the one who denied Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he is leaving the dunya and approaching the akhirah, angels with dark faces will descend, who will have with them a shroud of harsh material. Then Malakul Maut will come down and sit next to him and he will say, oh, you evil soul, come out to the anger of Allah and his wrath. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the soul will try to run away and it will disperse throughout the body into every cell trying to hide, but there is no place to hide. And Malakul Maut will grab the soul and he will rip it out and it will come out like a branch of thorns being dragged out of a bundle of wet wool. And he said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this will tear the muscles and nerves of the person with terrible pain. My brothers and sisters, I remind you and myself, this is the period through which everybody goes, good or bad, including the Anbiya alayhimu salam. And it's a period through which every single one of us will go. And therefore it is only natural to feel anxious and to feel fearful. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, his mercy is such that he does not abandon his slave. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about that time, and we ask Allah to make these ayats, make us mizdaq of these ayats. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوعَدُونَ. And the malaika who come, they will say, نَعْنُ أَوْلِيَاؤُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ نُزُلًا مِّنْ غَفُورٍ رَّحِيمٍ.
Verily those who say, oh, our Rabb is Allah, and then ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا, they stay firm on that. And then the angels will descend at the time of their death, and they will say, do not fear and do not grieve. Allah takhafu wa la tahzanu. But receive the glad tidings of Jannah which you have been promised. Right then and there. We have been your friends and awliya in this life of this world and also in the hereafter. And therein you will have all that you desire. And therein you will have all that you ask for. And this nuzul, it's a welcome. It's a taste of all the great goodness that is still to come. From whom? Al-Ghafoorir Rahim. Believe me, the only thing that will concern us at that time, the only thing which will concern us at that time when the breath is stuck in the throat, فَلَوْلَا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومِ وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَئِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبْصِرُونَ فَلَوْلَا إِنْ كُنْتُمْ غَيْرَ مَدِينِينَ تَرْجِعُونَهَا إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ.
The only thing which will concern us at that time is, am I forgiven, am I not forgiven? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu ar-Rahmanu ar-Rahimu fi dunya wal akhirah waliyuna fi dunya wal akhirah ya rab tawaffana musliman wa aliqna bis salihin. He introduced himself as al-Ghafur ar-Rahim. He could have said nuzulam, and he could have used anything. Nuzulam min rabbis samawati wal ard. Nuzulam min maliki yawmiddin. Nuzulam min khaliqi kulli ashay wa ahwal. He could have said anything he wanted. But he said, Nuzulam min ghafuri rahim. How do you thank Allah? How can you thank Allah? Wallahi, I bear witness that it is impossible for us to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way that is in keeping with His Majesty and grace. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us those words which please Him, and cause us to say them in a way which pleases Him. And we ask Allah to be pleased with those words, inshallah. We ask Allah to save us from save us from that. Because about the evil people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذْ يَتَوَفَّى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا الْمَلَائِكَةُ يَضْرِبُونَ وُجُوهَهُمْ وَأَدْبَارَهُمْ وَذُوقُوا عَذَابَ الْحَرِيقُ ذَلِكَ بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَيْسَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ.
Allah does no zulm. Allah said, if you could see when the angels take away the souls of those who disbelieve, they will hit them on the faces and on the backs, and they will say, taste the punishment of the blazing fire. And that is because of what you did, what your hands sent forward. And Allah said, Allah is not zalim. Allah does not do zulm on His slaves.
My brothers and sisters, may Allah make us among them. The believers will say, Rabbi Allah, Deen Islam, Nabiyuna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, qara'tu kitab Allahi, fa'amantu bihi wa saddaqtu.
And when this is done, a voice from above will say, An sadaqa abdi, my slave has spoken the truth. And then the hukum will be given, furnish his or her grave from the Jannah, from the mafrushat, the furnishings of the Jannah. Give him clothes from the Jannah and open a door for him to Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will personally verify the answers. The grave, my brothers and sisters, is connected to the Jannah.
It is up to us to make this connection. The grave can be connected to the Jannah or to the Jahannam. And that has been given into our hands. Open whichever connection you want. Then a very handsome person will walk into the grave and the believer will ask, "Who are you?" The person will say, "I am your good deeds. And I have come to spend time with you until the day of judgment." And then the believer will be shown Jannah through the window and he will be told, "That will be your place." And he will be shown the Jahannam through another window and he will be told, "That could have been your place, but for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu and because of what you used to do." Our amal are extremely important. The believer will say, "Ya Rabbi, aqimis sa'a." "O my Rabb, establish the hour so that I can go to my family and to my wealth in Jannah." For the munafiq, the kafir, the fajr, the disobedient person, the rebellious person, that person will say, "I believe what the people used to say." An announcement will be made from on high. And it will be said, "Al-Kadzab, he is a liar. Furnish his grave from Jahannam and give him clothes from Jahannam and open a door for him to Jahannam." And then an ugly and evil person with a very, very bad smell will enter the grave. The stinking, rotten smell, and he will say, "Who?" And the person will ask, "Who are you, O evil person?" And he will say, "I am your deeds. And I will be with you until the day of judgment." Then two windows will be opened and the person will be shown his place in Jahannam and he will be shown his place in Jannah. And he will be told, "You could have been there, but you chose not to do by your own evil deeds." My brothers and sisters, worse than the fire of Jannah is the pain of regret. Worse than the fire of Jannah is the pain of regret, where a person will say, "Oh, if only I had done such and such." But that will not help them whatsoever. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to do that which is pleasing to Him and to live in this world in a way that which is pleasing to Him. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make choices which are good for us in the dunya wal akhirah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with us and never to be displeased. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.